Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Well, I didn't know that, and I just let my horse Bandit just like fly to the barn, and it was terrifying. After that moment, I said, you know what, I'm going to stay off the horses for a while.
The story of how Tim McGraw landed the role of James Dutton on Yellowstone prequel 1883 is much more interesting than we were led to believe. Tim had talked about being a fan, so when creator Taylor Sheridan made him an offer, he couldn't refuse it, especially since it meant working with his wife Faith Hill for months at a time. Today, Tim tells the story himself and reveals what we thought we knew was all wrong. I'm Addison Hager, and Sterling Whitaker is back on the Dutton Rules podcast to break down time spent with Tim McGraw, Faith Hill, and Isabel May, three fourths of the Dutton family will meet on December 19th during the series premiere. Right away, you'll understand why their chemistry works so well on screen. You'll also hear how each took to horseback riding and how a lifelong friendship actually led to one of the most unexpected cast decisions on the show. A very quick reminder to tap follow wherever you're listening and then share a rating and review if you're enjoying the analysis and research. You can also find archive interviews with more Dutton family members like Kelly Riley and Luke Grimes, who play Beth and Casey Dutton on Yellowstone. Our email address is staff@tasteofcountry.com for any questions, comments, or theories you might have about this show or season 4 of Yellowstone. This is episode 9 of Dutton Rules, a Yellowstone 1883 podcast. Episode 10 will drop on December 19th and include a full recap of the first two episodes. Consider this your 1883 primer with Taste of Country writer Sterling Whitaker.
Hello, Addison. How are you?
I am good. I am trying to soak up the gloomy weather today. It's kind of weird here. I'm in Texas. For those who are listening, it doesn't quite feel like Christmas, but or winter for that matter. But, you know, a balmy 75 degrees, but it is overcast, so I'm pretending. Well, today we are talking about your interviews with Tim and Faith and their roles on 1883. And kind of set up what this interview style looked like. It was a little different than the one-on-one, just so listeners kind of know just the dynamic of all that.
Yeah, so this was a roundtable. And, of course, in the time of Zoom, a roundtable has turned into a roundtable Zoom. So there's nothing really round about it other than it's just a bunch of people sitting in a sort of a Zoom waiting room, if you will. And
right.
We're all sitting there together. There was five of us in on this, I believe. And then the person running the room and coordinating the interview says, okay, talent will be here in, you know, 1 minute. And all of a sudden, Tim McGraw's face pops up and everybody just starts firing questions. So they give you a turn and they'll say, you know, Tim, the next person is Sterling from Taste of Country. And then they cut to you and you unmute and you ask your question. So it's kind of a weirdly stilted interview format, because you get one question at a time and you don't get to develop the same kind of rapport that you would normally do.
Right.
But I still really enjoyed it, though. It was a fun thing to get to do.
Well, in kicking all this off, the question that I always love asking you, what did you hope, as you know, your turn comes on, and what did you hope to learn from Tim McGraw and Faith Hill about their roles in 1883?
Well, one of the last times you and I spoke, we were speculating about whether they would or would not sing on the show.
Right.
And we both surmised that they would, and we both were hopelessly wrong about that.
I truly am so sad. I know. We need to take a day off, Sterling. An emotional day off.
So, yeah, that was my first question to Tim, and he was... He wasn't upset about the question or anything, but it was very clear that he was very firm about there would be no singing on his part, you know. And his answer for that makes a lot of sense. His answer, you know, when you see what he actually has to say on the topic, his answer makes an awful lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. Did you watch any of the show before speaking to the cast, or did you kind of come in completely fresh?
I watched the first few episodes. Yeah, just so I'd have some idea what I was talking about, you know?
Right. Okay, so how this podcast is going to work today is we're going to pop in and out of your interviews with Tim McGraw and Faith Hill, and we'll kind of set each one up so you guys know, you know, as we come into the interview, what to expect and kind of tease it up. Sterling, where do you want to begin?
Well, I guess the place to start is how Tim got involved in this show to begin with, how Tim and Faith became involved to start with, which was a question I intended to ask, but it got asked before they got to me.
So, bummer, dang it.
Thing about these roundtable things is you've got to make sure you have backup questions, because somebody mm-hmm. might take your question and then you're just sitting there going,
oh, I've been in one time where, yeah, I had 10 questions and then we got all the way down to 9. I'm going, okay, come on.
Yeah.
But yes, totally can relate to that.
Yeah. So I assumed that, because we saw a little clip of Tim in character in one of the early episodes of Yellowstone this year. I think it was episode 1.
Right.
They did a sort of a flashback. I assumed that that was a teaser for 1883, but I had that wrong. Because he actually explains that Taylor Sheridan had asked him if he wanted to appear on Yellowstone, and he wanted to do something really cool if he did, and not just like sing a song in the bunkhouse or something, you know.
It was a year ago. It's probably longer, because during the last 2 or 3 years, I think time's gotten so skewed. But I think about a year ago, Taylor called and asked if I liked Yellowstone, and I'd never met Taylor before. And I said, well, we loved Yellowstone from the very first day. And then he said, well, I'd like you to be on the show. And then I said, I'd like to be on the show, but I want to come up with something really different and cool. I don't want to be just some singer that comes through the bunkhouse and gets taken to the train station. But he called me about a week. He said he had an idea. He called me a week later and told me about this flashback part of being in the 1880s and being the original Dutton that founded Yellowstone Ranch. And that intrigued me right off the bat. So I said, yes, I'm in for that. And we shot the flashback stuff. And a couple of months later, a month and a half or so later, he called me and said he was about to go into a meeting. He thinks the network wants to make a prequel with based on these flashbacks. And I said, well, if we can, you go through all the business discussions about getting the deal right and all these kinds of things. But if we get everything right, then we're in. And then he started sending scripts. And when we got the first couple of scripts, it was magic. Just beautiful stuff. And he's such a talented writer. And when you get something like that, it's the best thing I've ever read. All the scripts I've read, including books that I've read and everything, this is one of the best things I've ever read. And when we got that stuff and started reading the scripts, Faith and I together, we knew that we wanted to be a part of it. We just knew we had to be a part of it. And then when Sam Elliott came on board, so you got Taylor, a great script. I get to work with my wife, get to ride horses all day, and then Sam Elliott's on board. That's sort of a box that it's hard to get out of.
Quick reminder to tap follow, because an episode featuring Sam Elliott is coming very soon. I'm stunned. Tim was going to be James Dutton before 1883 was a thing.
It's insanity.
I love how Taylor Sheridan does that.
You know, does this guy sleep? Because it seems like all he does is think and write and think and write and plot and write, you know?
Truly. I'm like, okay, how can I take these people, make them into a show? Or it's always interweaving. I always describe this kind of writing process a little bit like This Is Us on NBC, where it's all interwoven, but it's just a really unique storytelling. And I just feel like he does such a good job at that. You know, we just talked about Tim. Let's now go to Faith Hill. Sterling, you got the first question for Faith Hill and Isabel May, unlike your Tim question. What impresses you about them on screen?
Well, in the show, they, you know, these are very, very serious roles, obviously. This is a very, very serious dramatic show. And Faith has to play a sort of facsimile of herself, as far as Tim said at one point in one of the questions that she's the disciplinarian of their kids, you know, when they're raising mm-hmm. them at home, more mm-hmm. so than he. And she's the mom who's trying to haplessly impose some form of discipline on a very willful teenage daughter in this show.
You know, yes.
A girl with an awful lot of spirit, as viewers will see. And so they have a really interesting dynamic that way. And what's really interesting is that seeing them, because they were paired in the interview, seeing them together, they really do have sort of a mother-daughter sort of thing going on, but it's a really, really fun vibe, the way they play off of each other. They very, very clearly really, really like each other.
Hmm. That's unique. Well, and I had been wondering this entire time for both Tim and Faith. I mean, they have three daughters roughly around Isabel May's age. And right. So I have just been curious to know, you know, how much of that is acting and how much of that is relatability of the stage of life that they're currently parenting in, essentially.
And they both talk about that a little bit, actually.
Okay, here is about 3 minutes of audio from both Faith and Isabel, as well as Tim McGraw, because he also talks about how being a parent to three girls shaped his character in acting, kind of just what I was talking to you, Sterling, about. So let's check it out.
We did not know one another before the show. We met just before we began filming Cowboy Camp. It honestly, pretty natural. Mm-hmm. It was a natural... pairing on it. Just, I don't know. I think this, the writing, the way the script is written between for Margaret and for Elsa, the characters that we play. I think the fact that I am a mom of three and Isabel does have traits of, you know, each of our daughters. But yeah, it was a, that, one way to describe it, but I think the writing and the script set the tone of what the relationship was going to be. But immediately we just hit it off. The fact that we have dimples and wanting her to embrace her beautiful dimples.
Very good. Isabel, do you have anything to add to that?
Oh, I mean, I think she said everything I would say, but she's an easy person to fall in love with. And I don't know, her warmth and compassion, she immediately just made me feel welcomed. And I felt like I could be vulnerable with her and honest. And then all it, the hard part really was pretending to be mad at her, upset with her. I mean,
that was hard for me too.
Yeah, I was like, I wanted
you.
To be mama, yeah. But,
Absolutely. I mean, I think as an actor, one of the things that you do, I mean, for me as an actor anyway, or and my limited experience, is you find pieces of yourself in the character. And then what you do is you see that character, you find pieces of yourself, and then you just put a magnifying glass on those pieces that fit that character, and you just blow those things up. And that's what I tried to do with James. Is, I mean, I have three daughters, and I'm probably not as tough as James, and I'm certainly not as hard on my kids as James is, but Faith's more the disciplinarian on the kids than I am. But there is a piece of that as a father. And with your daughters, especially with boys and with their career paths and all those things that you try to give advice and you try to pay attention to and you try to step up to as a father. But those are the things that you really magnify and sort of bring out in your character that matches the character. I guess the best way to say it is there's small pieces of you that are the same as the character in big pieces, and you make those small pieces bigger pieces to match the character.
That was Faith Hill, Isabel May, and Tim McGraw, the three stars of 1883. You're listening to Denton Rules, a Yellowstone in 1883 podcast. I'm Addison Haker with Sterling Whitaker, who talked to the stars ahead of the premiere. Sterling, Faith and Isabel were adorable together. You are so right of their chemistry.
They really, really are. I wish you could actually see the video, because at one point, Faith is talking about how they both have dimples, and they really do look like they could be mother and daughter, you know?
I agree with that. I agree.
In fact, my wife asked when she saw the commercial, she said, is that one of their real daughters? Mm. And I said, no, but it sure looks like it could be, you know?
Casting done well.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, Faith referred to the fact that they both have dimples, and when she did, she reached over and she, like, touched Isabel's face, and they smiled at each other just so sweetly, and it was just like, aww.
Very nurturing. Aww. Yeah. Which, I mean, Isabel May has very pronounced dimples, but, you know, now that you say that, I'm like, I haven't clearly stared enough at Faith Hill's face to really recognize her dimples, but maybe I just haven't paid attention to that. But yes, Isabel May specifically has very pronounced dimples. That's so sweet. I love that you just kind of got to paint that for people listening.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Neither Faith nor Isabel have extensive film or TV resumes, as we've kind of talked previously specifically with Faith. Do you think that starring in a show that adds on to 4 seasons of Yellowstone kind of adds pressure to their performance?
You know, we talked about that a little bit, and Faith was talking more in terms of feeling a really pronounced sense of responsibility for the characters, because the characters are so strongly written, and especially Isabel's character, to see a young female character so prominent in a contemporary TV show is a little bit rare, and carrying one and even narrating, because she actually narrates this show as well.
Mm-hmm. Does an incredible job.
Yeah, yeah. And that is something that breaks every trope of the classic Western that we've ever seen. You know, Westerns mm-hmm. almost always are about men. Mm-hmm. You know, and they tend to be the prominent characters, and the women tend to just kind of run around and clutch their skirts or whatever. And this is very, very strong female characters in a Western. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. she was talking about the sense of responsibility that they felt to give performances that live up to that kind of strong writing.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, talking about just strong female lead in a Western, I mean, you see them riding horseback. And I would love, I'm going to let you kind of paint the picture here of that conversation into right before we head to the clip of it. But, you know, coming into it, obviously, we knew that horseback riding was going to be a part of the show. But interesting to see, like, the stars are doing it. It's not stunt doubles. You know, it's them to a degree. Paint the picture of when you got to talk to them a little bit more about with Tim and Faith, of if they had experience or was that a completely new thing for them?
Tim, of course, is a really, really, really physical person, mm-hmm. you know, a guy mm-hmm. who does everything physical, from intensely working out to all kinds of sports to really competitive type of person as well, you know.
Yeah.
And so it's no surprise that he was, you know, that he already knew how to ride, you know. I think we could have pretty well guessed that. So that was no surprise. In Faith's case, she has a really interesting story about why she hadn't ridden in a long time. Because she had ridden in the past, and then she actually had a frightening experience on a horse that turned her off to it for a while. And then they actually go to cowboy camp to film this show. They went and learned how to do all this kind of stuff because they are actually in there doing it themselves, you know. And so when she went to cowboy camp, she found out that she had not been riding properly anyway, and so she had to relearn to ride.
I did know how to ride. I rode improperly. I found out quickly on the first day of cowboy camp. After our third child, we had horses and I had a horse named Bandit, and I had a really, really scary experience with him. He took off first of all, we should know this. Most people who ride know this, but never run your horse when, you know, when they see the barn, don't ever let them run. Well, I didn't know that. And I just let my horse Bandit just like for almost half a mile fly to the barn. And it was terrifying. And it was after I'd had Audrey, our third daughter. And after that moment, I said, you know what? I'm going to stay off of horses for a while, because it terrified me that much. Because I was a casual rider, but not as well as I should have been to be going that fast. Mm-hmm. After Cowboy Camp, I learned a lot about how to ride a horse properly. But I spent a lot of time on the wagon, which I love. I love leading. That is actually really hard. And for some reason, that's kind of good at it. You're I can't believe it. But I love riding. I do. And I've watched this one, Isabel, beginning and how she rides now. It's just like, wow, it's so freeing. It's like one of the best things. It's so therapeutic riding.
Yeah, that I think for me, having truly a terrifying experience like that, and then not only no pressure. It's not like it's, you know, going to be filmed or anything like that. And so, yeah, interesting that she, you know, was found out, oh, I'm writing incorrectly, which I'm curious if that, you know, might have helped ease a little bit of her, if she had any anxiety or anything beforehand of, okay, well, maybe I was doing it wrong before, so this time, I don't know, for me, at least, I think that would give me maybe a little bit more comfort, but.
Yeah. I mean, and when you think of, I mean, these folks are not in their 20s, you know, Tim and Faith, I think, are in their mid 50s or something like that.
Right.
So, you know, for them to undertake these sort of, I'm younger than they are, you know, and, not by very much, but I'm a little bit younger than they are. And, the you notion of back. Going out and going to cowboy camp and then spending, you know, months and months out in the arduous heat filming a show would seem impossible to me, you know.
The cast of the show and the cast of Yellowstone keep referring to this cowboy camp, just like you even referred to cowboy camp. Do you know, I know that you know, you're talking about it, but do you know what it is?
I don't really know exactly what it is. They obviously all learn to ride, because that's a central part of, you know, that's a really central part of the show. I'm sure they must have to learn how to use all of the various stuff that they're doing, you know, because because Yellowstone's set contemporary, but 1883 is set in 1883, and everything was different, from the clothing to, you know, to the doorknobs. I mean, everything about the work that they're doing, because they recreate things authentically on the show.
Yeah,
and the props absolutely. That they're using, you've got to learn how to use some of that stuff. In Tim's case, he's using lots of guns and weaponry as well. Actually, Faith picks up a gun pretty early on as well. And, you know, as we saw with another unfortunate on-set incident on Alec Baldwin's Western.
Yeah.
That you need to know what you're doing with that kind of stuff, or that can go badly wrong, you know?
Mm-hmm. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall to watch all of that go down and just seeing, I would have loved to be there for the very beginning to see how they started out, and then the end, just to see how they progressed and, you know, what they got comfortable with and all the above. I think that just would have been really cool to kind of get a behind the scenes look, if you will.
I'll tell you one thing that evidently Cowboy Camp does consist of, and this didn't come from Tim and Faith. One of the other actors was telling us that they're even eating like an authentic prairie diet. Like they're eating beans and rice and all red meat and that kind of stuff.
Wow. Talk about getting really in character. You were fully, I was wondering that. I was going to ask that next of, you know, are we even eating the type of food? But yep. You heard it here first. It is really going all in. 0 to 100.
It's not a show for vegans to act on.
No. On the way next, we have a great outtake from Faith Hill and Isabel May that left one of them blushing. But first, Tim McGraw talking about being close friends with another star on the show. Tom Hanks makes a cameo during episode 2, and as it turns out, they go way back.
So, but yeah, he's a great guy. We've been friends for a long time. Rita, his wife, and Faith are best friends, and Tom and I have been friends. We've been friends for 24 years. So, I knew that there was this part in there, and I gave him a call and said, hey, would you be interested in showing up and doing a cameo in this show that we're doing? And he goes, tell me when to be there. And he showed up and he walked on set. We didn't see each other that whole morning because I didn't want to see what he looked like. He didn't want to see what I looked like because we know each other so well. So when he walked on set, it was pretty magical. And when he puts his hand on my shoulder in that scene, you could feel the weight of the world between both of them with what had gone on. And it was a pretty heavy scene.
That's Tim McGraw talking to media about the show 1883. You're listening to Dutton Rules, and Sterling Whitaker and I are visiting conversations he was a part of with the cast members ahead of the premiere on December 19th. Sterling, sometimes musicians and actors can stick to a script because they're afraid of spoiling something or saying something controversial. Do you find that this was the case here?
No, I found that these were really pretty unscripted interviews. These are people who have been working really, really long, hard hours. You could see that some of the cast members were visibly exhausted. And Faith mentions that it wasn't over yet, that they were headed back to Texas to shoot the very following morning, early in the morning, with some intense scenes that were still coming up to finish this thing. So, you know, these people have been working really hard, and they obviously have a lot of pride in what they're doing. And they were very, very open about sharing. It didn't seem like they were being told what to say and what not to say, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, and on that note, Sam Elliott, you also got to interview him. And so that's not in this podcast episode, but you guys be on the lookout. We will be having Sam Elliott's one. So we can't give any spoilers yet, Sterling, but okay. Keep going about Faith and Tim and Isabel.
Forget about Sam, people.
Yeah, you didn't hear that. You didn't hear that, guys. We'll pin that for another day.
That's right. But no, in Faith's case, Faith is a lot earthier than people who haven't met her think she is. She's really a country girl at heart. She's a lot more polished now than she was when she first came to town, you know, because she's obviously had a sort of a practical education in the way the world works, you know. But underneath it all, she's really you can see her as a prairie woman, you know what I mean? You can see her as a true country girl, and she has a lot of sort of earthy wit to her. And there's a pretty good example of what happened. She and Isabel were bantering, and it turns out that Isabel is not that familiar with some of Faith's music. And it led into a funny exchange in which Faith ended up saying something that she really didn't mean to say. And then she kind of was like, oh no, I just said that to all of these people.
Wow. I haven't even realized that. I mean, yeah, you do say that. No, he says that.
He says that. Yeah.
I didn't even think about that. That's a Taylor Sheridan question. I doubt it, but I don't know.
Wait, what's the reference?
I love you so much.
I'm sorry.
I do. That was my first record I
owned. Oh my god. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh my god, that's so cool.
No, don't be sorry. This is why this is so amazing. Honest to oh my god, I love you. I'm sorry that you didn't know that. No, seriously. Honey, it's been so I don't think you weren't even born. How long has it been, like 30 years ago? Good God almighty. Yes. So probably some of those things you have on your shelf. About that the hell. This is awesome. You shouldn't know these things. Okay. You should be doing what you're doing. That's why you're here. That's why you are. Elsa, my God, nobody could play that if you paid attention to that shit.
I don't think it was a reference. I don't think it was.
Because
I remember Taylor, when we were shooting that scene, it was kind of just on a whim. He just kind of threw it at the guy. So,
oh, geez. Oh, my God. I'm going to be fired and kicked off of every interview ever. Sorry.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay, after listening to that, I love them even more, of just seeing that more natural, non-scripted. I'm here for it.
Yeah, they're really, really wonderful.
Okay, one last clip, and then Sterling, I'm hoping you can come back to preview what's next from you, and we kind of teased it a little bit earlier, but this is Tim McGraw talking about how his role of James Dutton is different from other roles he's played.
I don't know that it's that much different than anything I prepared for, other than the physicality of it, which you know, it's I guess the toughest part is I'm sort of a gym rat, so I have to be in the gym every morning. So the toughest part is being up at 3 a.m. every morning in order to make your call time. So that's probably the hardest part of it is getting up at 3, getting your workouts in, because there's been a couple of days where I didn't do that, and it's the energy's not the same on set. But that was the main part of the prep, is just, you know, keeping my mind together, which is my workouts are sort of like my meditation in a lot of ways. So to have that, and that's the time that I go over my lines in my head, and I prepare for the day and try to be ready for what's going on. And I try to know everyone's lines in the show. That way I can sort of feel the moment and be in the moment.
Yeah. One thing that's interesting to note is that both Tim and Faith talked about how physically demanding this show is. You know, they're not on a soundstage, you know, taking lunch breaks over in the cafeteria. They're rolling around the plains out there in a wagon and on horseback and that sort of thing. And, you know, he talks about how his workouts have been really central to him sort of keeping his keeping it together out there.
Yeah.
You know, and each of them said in separate ways that this is the hardest they've ever worked. And in Faith's case, she's having to do it with all these weird period costumes that have all these, you know, all these extra layers. So it's not hot enough out there. You're out there in like a bonnet and a full dress and all this crazy stuff, you know.
Absolutely. Well, yeah. And then hauling yourself on a horse. And yeah I could see how, the costuming alone, you have to be physically fit for. Forget all the, like you said, being out in the sun, running around. Like, you just need to be physically in shape to wear what they have them wearing. So that, yeah, that makes complete sense.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Okay, what is coming up from you on this next podcast?
We have coming up Cole Hauser and Piper Perabo. And fans of Yellowstone are aware that Cole plays the character of Rip, and Piper is the brand new character of Summer Higgins.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so there's really, really two very different sort of takes on the same sort of material.
I'm excited to hear which one of them is similar to their character and which one is different. Will you be talking about that a little bit?
Absolutely. And I think people might be a little bit surprised at what the answer to that is.
Well, I am excited. Okay. And then the following week, who do we have?
After that, we're coming back to 1883 and got to have some time with both Sam Elliott and a guy named LaMonica Garrett, who Sam, of course, is one of the highlights of this cast, or he would be the highlight of any cast of anything, basically. And he plays a Pinkerton agent who's accompanying them on this wagon train journey. And then LaMonica plays a guy named Thomas, who is his friend and his colleague. And they have some really great things to say about each other. What LaMonica has to say about Sam is one of my favorite things that got said all day, I think.
Hmm. Well, ending this here, speaking of Sam Elliott, a little birdie told me he's particularly intense.
You think? Just a little bit, yeah. He was perfectly friendly, but in a, I don't know if friendly, he's very approachable, and you don't feel
right.
Like you can't speak to him or anything, but he's definitely a very, very, very serious person. And that comes across well.
That's Taste of Country's Sterling Whitaker, our go-to for all smart questions and insight into the cast and characters of both 1883 and Yellowstone. More episodes and breakdowns and cast interviews from both shows are coming very soon, so be sure to tap follow and share your feedback or your ideas at staff@tasteofcountry.com. I'm Addison Hager, and this episode of Denton Rules, a Yellowstone 1883 podcast, is written by myself, Sterling, and Billy Dukes, and produced by Billy Dukes. A full Denton Rules breakdown of episode 1 and 2 of 1883 is set for this Sunday, followed by a recap of episode 8 of Yellowstone. Denton Rules is another great Town Square Media podcast.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.